Welcome back to Consider Dead Podcast.
Woo!
I'm your host, Travis from Winneka.
Yeah, Kaja, the DJ.
And we're missing Brian. He's
Can I be Brian for a second?
And I'm dead kid.
There you go.
I'm dead kid.
Kevin will be filling in for Brian and himself as well.
All the bitches.
And for today's show, we have a friend of ours, a dear friend of ours. We have Kale. He's a renowned drummer. He's been in the music scene, highly talented.
Thank you. I'm Kale.
Been in a lot of big bands.
Woo.
Hell yeah.
Professional.
Thank you guys for having me. Yeah.
Professional drummer, expert drummer, studio musician, live musician.
Great storyteller.
I love you.
Oh, yeah. Also a fellow Lord of the Rings lover, I hear.
Yeah, fellow Lord of the Rings fan, so he's most welcome. We've been talking about it for months to getting you on here, and so I'm glad we finally...
Yeah, and getting them on his band on the Consider Dead Metal Night.
Yeah.
Which will happen one day.
Which is actually going to happen. We're very down. My band members are on tour right now with that band Drain I was telling you about.
Oh, yeah, Drain, yeah. Damn.
So also he'll be playing at one of our Consider Dead shows. God damn, boy!
Yeah.
Yeah, so welcome, Kale, finally.
Yeah.
Finally, we got
Thank
him.
Thank you, guys. I'm pretty pumped. A little nervous.
All right,
it's very weird hearing myself talk.
Oh, yeah.
In headphones. It's pretty crazy.
All right, okay. We got a caller number 24. We got Kale. Kale, can you tell us
Hello.
What...
Hello.
Kale's going to kick us off with our first song. Kale, what song you got for us?
So the first track that I'm going to pick is a song that was very influential to me. It's the drumming is my favorite drumming of all time. It's a song called Good God by Korn.
Nice.
And it's a great track.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, let's play.
Woo!
Get it.
Into my mind, you stole my life.
And that was Good God by Korn.
Good God.
Yeah.
Kale's choice. One of your influences.
One of my influences and favorite songs still to this day.
Woo.
Yeah.
You can just move the mic closer. Or you can just move it to you. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. Well, now I can really hear me. Is that good?
Yeah.
Level's okay?
Yes, you're good now.
Yeah.
Trav, the sound guy.
Damn. Good God. Good God almighty.
Good God.
I'm just doing my job, man.
It's really cool because last week we had the Faltering Lion on our podcast, and they were huge Korn fans growing up. And even some of their songs, like, you could tell the Korn influence on them. So it's really cool that it kind of like ties the episodes together that Kale's first song was Good God.
It was like single string notes, like the noodling. I don't know anything about guitar, but it's kind of like a new
noodling. Metal.
Like, yeah, like low-tuned, single-string riffs. You know what I mean?
Kind of,
I don't fucking know. But
that's badass.
I just loved the drumming on it when I was a kid. It just felt like he was playing hip-hop over really heavy riffs.
Ooh.
Like playing, like, rap beats, if you will.
That is true, huh? Like,
yeah.
Always got that vibe from Korn.
Yeah, like, he's always just doing, like, just sick, out-of-the-box drumming.
Yeah,
two really heavy riffs. I love it.
Did you recreate those first three notes that boom, tss, ka, or whatever
no.
it was?
I do it sometimes when I sound check for fun.
Really?
Yeah, I'll just go like dong, ching, boom. Like I'll hit like a kick, like a tom, and then like a splash or something.
Is that what it was on the recording? Like,
I think boom. It is. But the drummer, it's crazy. He has a kick drum mounted, so he can hit it as like a final floor tom.
Whoa!
But it's like meant for just little things.
Damn.
You know? And I know that is in the beginning somewhere. I know it's used in that intro.
Woo!
I just don't know which one. Like, I don't know what's the kick and what's the kick that he hits.
Oh,
with the
like
stick.
The kick tom?
Yeah.
What do you even call that?
Tom kick? I was looking at his Instagram the other day, and he has a name for it. Because it was kind of a thing, I think, back in those days. It's like a lot of drummers had that.
Damn.
Yeah, it was really fucking tight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know what I miss?
I don't know too much about
I'm just
drums.
Looking over at Travis. And Travis is like, yeah.
Yeah, Travis, so what do you think about the setup of modern drumming?
Yeah, what's your take?
What's your take?
I know there's a hi-hat in there somewhere. Yeah, no, I just I love
it. I know is Rock Band.
You know what I miss?
Blink-182?
I miss you. I miss...
you too.
I mean... You meet more drummers than me and Travis ever do. You travel. You're a traveling musician.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of drummers don't use chinas anymore. Or is that just
they're making a comeback.
Oh,
I mean, you know, for certain bands, especially like in hardcore, some drummers use it. Some don't. You know?
Yeah,
there's a lot of sub genres in hardcore. I guess I can only really speak for hardcore.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But yeah, no, it's you know, a lot of bands were using them, then they kind of made a little bit of a disappearance because everyone's kind of like, oh no, fuck the China.
Oh,
you know
man.
What I mean? Open hi hat breakdowns all day.
And yeah,
they. I mean, I may be completely fucking wrong too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I know I never let go of the China. I always had a China.
Damn.
Always have one. Always have one.
Dude, just something about a breakdown with a China. Is like so classic to me.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But even
do you
still,
know,
like,
do you know what a China is?
I have no clue.
Okay, a China is literally, it's almost like a gong.
It's called a gina.
It's kind of like a gong style symbol.
It's a China. It's a gina.
Yeah.
The name's gina. no, it's like those really funky looking symbols that they usually always have on their far right. You know what a symbol is, right?
Like it's hanging.
Psh, psh. Yeah. It's like whenever you hear a heavy band and there's a breakdown, you'll hear like a it's like really crunchy.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he's like
yeah.
It's like yeah. It's
how almost, does it go? How does it go?
But yeah, no, it's meant to, it's got a loud noise, and either however you tighten it, it can have like just like a really loud noise and then cut really hard. So it's almost like. Or if you kind of loosen it, it's like.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to sound crazy, dude, but you should like punch in the sound of a China right here.
There, well, I China. Was talking about getting a little soundboard.
Yeah.
Just putting random shit
right.
on
there. Yeah, right.
So now that Brian's not here, we could put Brian's voice as a sample. Like,
right. We should just record him. I was just recording.
And I can hit it fast.
Well, before we continue on, before we Kale tells us all his dirty secrets.
Ooh, the tea. Man,
we got a whiskey review.
Oh yeah,
we got something special. Are you gonna read it, Kevin?
All right. So I'm Dead King, and
you gotta read it like him too.
This shit looks crazy.
Yeah,
you guys need to actually see this.
Oh my god, I wish you guys could see it. One day we'll do a video podcast. Maybe next season at some point.
I think I'm gonna post a picture of it. I always forget to do that when I do the IG post.
I'll do one of my stupid edits for this one.
Oh yeah, I include that. Yeah,
little like photoshopped image. Okay, so we got a whiskey review: the original Backpacker Moonshine.
Oh yeah,
corn whiskey.
Never had it.
I've never seen it. I've never had whiskey that was clear.
This shit's in a mason jar.
Yeah, it's in really a mason jar.
Just with a cap on it and a little sticker holding it.
So basically, it's clear because it hasn't been like fermenting in barrels.
Oh, okay.
That's what changes
the color.
The wood darkens it.
Yeah. I think we just saw McConaughey. This whiskey was smoked in some wood.
Yeah, so all right.
But yeah, so it's a clear whiskey in a mason jar. And it says moonshine. I drive a Lincoln and I drink my whiskey.
And I rub boogers with my fingers.
So 50% alcohol, 100 proof. Distilled and bottled in goddamn Tennessee, boy. Oh, goddamn.
That's how you know it's legit. From Tennessee.
I'll tell you something, boy.
So Backpacker Moonshine Corn Whiskey. Let's see what their tagline is.
Yeah, let's tell me.
Travel light, period. Get lost, period. Feel good. The moon will guide you through the wood. Is that a rap?
All right.
Is that a rap?
That was very poetic.
Travel light. That's a country song, I think. Travel light, get lost, feel good. The moon will guide you through the wood.
I like
Damn.
It.
Damn.
I'm petrified to drink this. I'm not even going to lie.
Trav, where'd you get this?
I got that at Total Wine.
They have
a whole new section because when you go to Total Wine, they have like sections by country where the whiskey is. And this one was just called white whiskey. I was like, white whiskey?
100 proof.
Yeah.
Is it white whiskey or is it?
White whiskey. So like they also have like other ones like flavored like peach moonshine, like I don't know, sour apple moonshine.
By the same brand? The Backpacker?
Same brand, yeah.
I can't imagine going backpacking and drinking moonshine.
Yeah.
I'll just get more dehydrated like and fucking sit down hammered.
I know, right? It's like I need water.
I'm traveling light.
what was a joke like? Jesus turns water in wine, and it's like Jesus, I'm dehydrated, man. Like stop doing that shit.
I'm faded. I'm fucking faded.
Jesus, I'm drunk.
I just want some water.
Let's pop that baby.
Can you turn wine into water?
Yeah. So the picture is a tent by a lake with the moon in the back. So maybe like after you're done hiking. Then when you set up your tent, light the fire, then you drink it.
Yeah. There you go. Keep
it's
you warm
it's a campfire.
Night.
It's a campfire drink.
It's a campfire drink. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. It has like the.
We're even telling campfire stories tonight. I mean,
keep the lid closed.
Yeah. All right. Should we?
Oh yeah.
Crack it.
Crack that baby open.
Let's do
Put it.
Put
it to the mic, baby.
Oh yeah, do the mason jar ASMR.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. All right. All right.
That was funny.
That was good.
I don't think we ever got that detailed about a whiskey.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we drank it. Usually we're
this was just more interesting. I'm into it.
Dude, that was like the perfect little.
It was? I didn't hear it. I took off my headphones. Damn.
And both you and I in Harmison went like.
Damn. And then did you hear that?
Yeah, the scratching.
Dude, I'm dude, watch
that didn't sound promising.
Watch the whiskey we fucking talk shit about is gonna be the one that gives us a sponsor.
I'm down. I think they're a small company, so maybe.
Yeah, you never know. It's companies like this, you know?
Yeah.
All right. You got a clean cup or
I don't.
Oh,
goddamn boy!
I'll clean it,
okay. Man. Tennessee.
See, that's weird about the pour. Maybe we can talk shit about
Jesus
that.
Jesus fucking Christ, dude! I need more.
God.
All right, well, we just poured our cups and we're smelling it.
All right, so
this is freaking kerosene.
Recording?
Straight kerosene.
Are we recording?
Yes, we are recording.
Okay.
Straight Kerosene.
Yo, this shit, I'm not.
Ooh, boy.
Okay, ready?
About to be in for some shit.
Cheers, boys. All
right, cheers to Kale.
Cheers to you.
Joining us tonight.
To consider dead.
Woo.
Yeah, cheers.
Fine. All right, here we go.
3, 2, 1.
The back.
Okay.
Yeah, that's absolutely disgusting.
Oh, I mean, my God.
In terms of.
Wow.
I won't say it's bad because I've never had this kind of flavor.
Oh, my
before.
God.
Just
like imagine, remember your first time drinking whiskey? You didn't like it, but now it's that's what we love.
Well, my honest to God answer. Oh my God. I've never drank moonshine.
Kale, what do you think about this?
I'm optimistic.
Absolute shit. Yes. I mean, okay. No, we're giving it a review.
Yeah. Honest review.
Honest review. We're gonna go honest. I have a chaser with me, so I kind of just drowned it out.
What's that? Why don't you tell us about that chaser you got there?
Well, let's get to the review. I'll just quickly. I'm drinking a Ghost energy drink, and it's a blue raspberry Sour Patch flavored energy drink. So it really drowned out that that moonshine. But I will tell you this: even with the chaser, it's strong.
Yeah,
very strong.
Me and Trav did it raw. We went in raw.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what?
I use protection.
I think by the time I drink several more of these, get halfway down the bottle, I'm gonna like this.
Yeah. You know what?
It's just we're exploring.
I thought you meant tonight. I was like, okay,
we're
really going in tonight.
I closed my eyes when I drank it, and you know what? It took me back to camping.
Yeah,
by a lake,
like seventh grade or something.
Like the campfire.
Took me back to ninth grade.
The you're camping. It's cold. It's really cold. You're by the fire.
Crickets.
This will warm your ass up.
Oh yeah.
If you're in Tennessee,
this is like some real 1800s ass shit.
Yeah. This is like.
You feel me? Like, you really put it, you just make it at home, put it in a jar, and then you go on your merry way.
Well, yeah. So like, expeditioning. That we try, it's like, it's all based on flavor, like flavor this, flavor that. This doesn't have too much flavor, but it's a new flavor for me.
Yeah. I could see putting that in my backpack while I'm hiking.
Hell yeah.
On my way to a campsite.
Are you sure it's not the product packaging?
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
I can see myself strictly looking at it and being like, I like the packaging.
Oh, yeah.
Put that in my backpack. Let's go.
So as a pourer for a shot, definitely doesn't pour well.
No, you got to drink that shit from
the
bottle.
So
that's
why
camping, when you're by the fire, you just drink it to yourself.
Yeah, you just sip it.
You're not going to pour shots at a campground.
No, hell no. I mean, who does that anyway?
You know? Yeah. Damn.
I mean, I drink White Claws at the camp, you know.
White Claw. So we got White Whiskey, White Claw.
We just turned southern after drinking this.
Damn, boy.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jesus. This says it's corn whiskey, but I guess it comes.
What does that mean?
Whiskey.
What does that?
It means it's made from corn.
Oh.
Fermented corn?
Yeah.
They put.
As opposed to wheat.
Oh.
Right? Wait, is whiskey wheat?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. A
grain of some sort.
Yeah. Not the greatest taste, but for some reason, my review in general is it made me happy when I drank it for some reason.
You have that napkin?
I use my Egyptian scarf.
Bring it over here, baby.
Yeah, it made me happy.
No, I mean,
little camping vibes.
I don't always generally. I drink alcohol, you know, in moderation.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't really enjoy it. I just do it to feel good, you know.
Yeah.
I swear I'm not an alcoholic. I promise.
Ooh.
But I can see myself using a chaser because I'm a bitch. Yeah. And this being enjoyable, for sure.
Yeah.
I think it'll get you drunk quicker. It's 100 proof.
Well, now that we got you drunker, tell us more about you. How you
let's hear a history of Kale, where you started drumming, when, why.
Okay. I'll condense it. I started drumming. I wanted to be a drummer because I wedged a sand pail and a frisbee into a tree that, like, branched out, like, the roots, I don't know how to explain it, like, tree branched out, I shoved a fucking sand pail in one, a frisbee bent in the other, because it was like a three-way prong, if you will. It's like a sand pail wedged at the bottom, frisbee. Whoa. And then I would take jump rope handles and then just hit them. It was at, like, my neighbor's house, and I was like, yo, this is sick. And then we made, like, a fake makeshift guitar out of, like, a bunch of rubber bands and a broom. And then I thought we were in a band.
What?
We didn't have a name, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I want to be a drummer. It was like fifth grade. And then that summer, I got my first drum set on my birthday. I was born on Christmas Eve. So for my birthday, on Christmas, it was like, that's the bad part of having your birthday on Christmas Eve. It's like,
oh, yeah. They lump it together.
They lump it together. But my dad was just like, hey, I forgot your mom's present in the garage. It's the big red one. Can you go grab it and bring it for her? I was like, yeah, I got you. And I run in. It's like, and we do Christmas early, you know, like 7 a.m., 6 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
And I run out, and there's just a big red drum set up in the middle of the garage, and I just start screaming. Oh, so boy. I started drumming. Wow. Yeah, it was cool. It was a really nice surprise.
Dude.
And then, yeah, didn't think that I would be drumming my whole life. But
oh, my God.
I would just, like, occasionally go out there and do the same. And I would just do that for hours. I couldn't do anything else. Didn't know how to do any kind of fill.
And that was by ear. You didn't, like...
No, I've never, ever taken a lesson in my life. I just...
Damn.
And then I did, like, for 2 years straight, I was doing the same thing. And then eighth grade, I kind of was opening up to not the same drum beat. That's when I met my middle school friends, Gus. You know Gus.
Oh, yeah.
My buddy Gus that sang in a band called Volumes. He's a rapper now. He goes by Young Yogi.
Hey,
shout out Young Yogi. Started a band with him, his younger brother, our friend George Lara. You know George, right?
I remember George, yeah.
Yeah, George Lara, the like 80s metalhead dude. Yeah. Rocking the Reeboks. He was your style.
Oh, yeah. I remember George. Yeah, for sure.
George, and then my friend Sean Maple.
So you went from playing in your garage with no lessons pretty much to Betrayal.
Not yet. This is a band called Dead Reckoning.
Whoa.
So the whole Betrayal story is really funny. We start this band. We're awful, really bad. We had like 2 songs, and our first song was straight up like 6 minutes long because it's just a bunch of seventh graders just writing... Just like riff after riff. There's no like, we have no idea what we were doing. And it's just like our singer wanted to sound like Korn, but he's in seventh grade and his voice is just not developed. So it's just like,
was it Gus or
no,
or
it's George? Like Sean Maple.
Oh, Sean. Okay.
Do you remember Sean Maple?
Name, yeah. But
did you go to Hill?
No.
Okay. I did. You went to Hill?
Yeah.
How old are you though?
32.
So yeah, you were probably in like eighth grade when I was in like sixth. Did you go to El Camino?
No.
Okay, never mind. But no, so we start this band. Gus is in Diego. Yeah. Rest in peace, Diego.
R.I.P. Diego.
Gus's little brother, Diego, is the rhythm guitarist. And, you know, Gus and Diego's dad are very well-renowned producer, music maker. He makes music, you know. and he just had, like, really badass studios. And we went to a studio, recorded these... 2 tracks, or I don't know if it was like 1 track, and then we had another song written. But we had one song that was just really bad, really long, and we dropped it, and we got made fun of, kind of.
What?
Like, I mean, you know, when you're... Kids thought it was cool, like oh, they're in a band, you know, when you're in, like, middle school, like...
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, that's the coolest thing. Coolest thing ever.
We've never played a show, we've never done anything like that. But then Facebook was, like, I think... created, or maybe it was MySpace. I don't remember. One of the earlier social
I think Facebook
media.
Was like 08.
Okay, this was, I think, before that. It was actually MySpace. There was a band on there that was just talking mad shit. They went to Chaminade.
I went to Chaminade.
It was Kevin's band. He went to Chaminade. It was Kevin.
ironically, it's a band called Betrayal. Oh. And it was like St. Mel's Kids. Like, I forget what the middle school is. It's either Chaminade or Crespi. They were like Chaminade or Crespi kids.
There was a Chaminade middle school.
Okay, that's what it was. They were all Chaminade kids. They were all Chaminade kids.
They were talking shit on Facebook.
I mean, do you remember Sean Chameleon?
Yeah.
Ash Khan.
Yeah.
Ash Khan's the original guitarist.
No way, dude.
A dude named...
It's coming back.
I forget the singer. He was like a big, scary guy with like a bald head.
Wow. Yeah.
And then Gabe... I forget his last
name. Gabe Alva.
Gabe Alva was the drummer. And no they were just way, talking dude. Shit on us. And like, we were going back and forth talking shit. And I remember we were at Sean Maple's house. And Gus calls me. And he's like, yo, I'm quitting Dead Reckoning. I'm gonna join Betrayal. And we were just like, you fucking traitor. You know? And then right after that happened, we were like, dude, like, the guy that wrote all the riffs is out. Like, either we... quit or we just try to keep it pushing with Diego. But everyone was kind of we were realizing the song is kind of, we don't know what the hell we're doing, you know? So I think we just ended it. And then 3 days or 4 days later, I get a call from Gus and he's like, yo, so I joined Betrayal. And when I talked to Sean, he was telling me that their drummer and their bassist quit. So do you want to play drums? I was like,
wow.
Yeah, fuck it. I'll play drums. Like, we just dropped the old band. I'll just hop in the new one that was just talking shit about us.
Wow.
I didn't really know anything about the shit talking. It was just like they would tell me about, like, oh, this band's hating on us. And I'm like, I don't fucking know. I don't have social media. I don't know what the hell they're saying. Yeah. You know?
We had AIM back then.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah.
But really quick. So, I was at Chaminade during this time, mm-hmm. and I think you and Shake, Andrew, were already in it.
No. Okay,
so I got invited to join Betrayal, actually. This really? Is the crazy, yeah, by Anthony.
Anthony.
Kavitansky.
Oh, my God. But no, so I was in the band when he was in.
Wow.
So I'll tell you all about that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, okay, I mean, so I show up. Gus is like, do you want to be in Betrayal? I'm like, yeah, fuck it. We used to all hang out at this spot called The Commons. You know the Commons.
In Encino?
Yep. No, oh, it's Calabasas. Calabasas. Okay. And I meet, you know, it's funny because when you're in middle school and high school, it's like neighboring middle schools and high schools you beef with for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
It's like you're on a sports team, but you're like, oh, those fucking Taff kids.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Oh, man, dude.
You remember that shit? It was like, yo. Like,
fucking receipt.
Keep my circle tight, you know? Yeah.
Well, I was at Chaminade, so it was like, hey, they go to Alamany. I'm like, oh, what the fuck?
Fuck them. Those are Crespi motherfuckers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I meet a bunch of, like, I meet, like, a bunch of St. Mel's and Crespi, Chaminade, whatever. I think they were Chaminade and, like, or no, they were St. Mel's kids.
Mm.
St. Mel's kids. And Gus got kicked out of there and got sent to Hale. And that, you know, I met Gus when he came into our school in seventh grade. He's like the new kid that's a metalhead and everyone thinks he's cool. Because he was cool. He was cool as shit. And we're just like, yo, fuck those kids. And Gus is like, nah. Like, he was like the bridge. He's like, these are my boys from the school I got kicked out of. Like, let's link.
Damn. All
right, if you say they're cool. And then I meet Andrew Adolph in this group of people. And ironically, that night, I don't know why I said ironically. It's not ironic. It's just kind of cool that it came into fruition like this. But me and Andrew were the last people that night that got picked up by our parents. Our parents were working late.
I remember getting picked up from the Commons.
Remember, yeah. Everyone left, and like me and Andrew just had an hour to kill, so we sat on a bench and we were talking about, like, I think some kid that huffed paint and died. Like, this fucking really weird. I think I weirdly remember that combo.
Shout out Andrew.
Yeah,
Shake.
Shout out Andrew,
who is now Shakewell.
Woo! Yes. I'm really trying to condense this, but there's actually some key parts.
I like it.
3 days later, you know, we God damn it! Now I have like a flame under my ass. Okay. 3 days later, I show up to the band practice, and I didn't know who was gonna be playing bass. I'm pulling up. Andrew's pulling up. He gets out of the car with a bass.
Whoa.
I'm like, oh, you're the kid I met at the Commons the other night.
Damn.
He's like, oh, dude, you're playing in Betrayal? I'm like, yeah, I'm trying out today, or I guess I'm in the band. I don't know what I am, but we're going to fuck around and see what's up. Yeah, we both joined Betrayal that day. Gus was going to play guitar and then just said, fuck it, I'm going to do vocals. And then our buddy Ashcon, I think he might have already, I can't remember if Gus was, oh, no, Gus was going to play bass. But then said, fuck it, Andrew, play bass. I'm going to sing. Then, yeah, we did that shit. Then Gus quit. Then we got Anthony Kapitansky.
Yeah.
And Ashcon got kicked out. I don't remember why.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah. It just went like that. And then, yeah, we won a battle of the bands at the Whiskey. We played the Whiskey a lot. And then we won a battle of the bands.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. We were in like ninth. I was in ninth grade. We won a battle of the bands at ninth grade of high school, and one of the judges was the owner of a label and came up to us and was like, yo, like, do you guys want to be, like, put your music out through my label? And we were like, oh shit, like, this label wants to sign us. And yeah, everyone, like, signed except for me, and I think Andrew didn't sign, but we were like,
wow.
But everyone else in the band signed, like, a deal, and our music was, like, put out through this label.
What?
I won't say the name, but yeah, fuck that label. And I think by high school, I was like we started touring in high school, and it like kind of I got really homesick early on.
Wow.
And I'm a super homebody, I found out real quick. And I quit in my right after we graduated. I literally got my diploma at El Camino, got my diploma, and then went straight home and packed for like a full month long Canada tour. And
hey, that's fucking amazing though at that age.
It was really cool. Yeah. It was like my first time leaving the US, you know, and I was like, fuck yeah, we're going to Canada, eh?
Canada.
And then I broke the news right before we left for the tour. I was like, yo, like, I don't think I like touring. I don't see myself being a touring musician, you know. I think I'm gonna like try and get like a normal guy job, you know. So we went into the tour knowing that this was gonna be my last tour with them. And then they had to break the news to that owner of the label, and then he like freaked out on me, made me feel even shittier. And then it like kind of made me realize like, yeah, I don't want to be a part of this.
Wow.
And then I left, became a electrician for about like a year.
Damn.
And then
is this after Elko or
this is I graduated at that
point. Okay, you know? Nice.
We graduate, I get, you know, I quit, become an electrician. I get fired for being an electrician because I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. I think you go to school for that. And they hit me back up to fill in for a tour for 2 months with that band.
In which band?
Betrayal hit me back up.
Oh, wow. They were still going.
Yeah. And then they asked me to fill in. I then toured with Trapped Under Ice, Backtrack, Take Offense, and
Didn't Betrayal become The Unborn?
No.
Or
no.
How
Unborn
did that
was just like a
Gus
another
just
local
left to join.
Yeah,
the Unborn.
That's why he left, because The Unborn wanted a singer, and he's like, I'm gonna quit Betrayal and do The Unborn. So then we got Brendan, Brendan Foley, a friend of ours that was in another local band that we played at with the Kung Fu Corner, and then
didn't he join The Unborn after that?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Let me just gather my thoughts and make it really quick.
Yeah, I'll be clean.
Where did I leave off? I filled in. So I filled in. And then there was a band named Downpressor that I currently play in, from Santa Barbara. The guitarist was out in Washington, watched me play, and was like, wait, what the fuck? I've seen you at local shows. We need a drummer. Do you want to play? And I was like, yeah, I'll play. And then I joined Downpressor in 2011. And then right after that, kind of spiraled into touring full time. I met a bunch of people throughout the scene. That's how I joined Twitching Tongues. That's how I started God's Hate with everyone. I started Misery as like a kind of side project with Downpressor. These are all like too long of stories, how they all started and everything, but they're all really cool.
We could have a trilogy of Kale podcasts.
The Return of Kale.
I met Eric, who goes by Ghostmane, and he was a fan of some of my bands. And then a mutual friend got us to link up and go to a bar. And then we, you know, we're talking about music, and then we just like talked about how it'd be cool to have live drums for his music, and then it kind of just turned into us doing that. Like, he's just like, yo, we should actually try jamming that. And then we linked up that week and jammed it, and he was like, it sounds fucking cool, do you want to come on tour with me for this little West Coast run?
And this is Ghostmane.
What was that? That was with Ghostmane. Yeah.
And who was that mutual friend?
His name is Max Beck. It's his roommate at the time.
Oh
yeah.
Not to be confused with Max Schreck, who played Nosferatu.
Yeah, there you
came
go.
Out 100 years ago this week.
Oh really?
Oh yeah, little tidbit.
The more you know.
Considered Ed facts.
But
considered facts.
That just like propelled me into the music world, like heavily, you know.
Nice. So going back to mine and Kale's longtime friend, talented musician, Andrew, aka Shakewell.
Yeah. I have a best friend that I hang out with still to this day that was in my band Betrayal, named Andrew Adolph. And now he raps and he goes by Shakewell.
Who was almost on this podcast episode too, by the way.
Yeah, I was trying to get him to come, but I think he's filming his music video this
week.
Not to drop any spoilers. But yeah.
Yeah, before a little Andrew story with me and him. So we were in Chaminade ninth grade English together. And this was back when he had a scene haircut. Yep, he was a bass player.
Yeah.
So Shakewell, the rapper, was a scene kid. Yeah. So we were in ninth grade English, and he said something really funny. Mm-hmm. I forgot what it was, but I laughed so hard. And Travis knows when I laugh really hard, I can't stop. So I was laughing so hard that I got kicked out of the fucking classroom. So my teacher was like, Kevin, leave. So I get out of the class.
Yeah, I think he told me this story.
Yeah, and Chaminade had little windows into the door. I think all high schools do. Yeah. But I look back, and I look at Andrew, and he's like this, but he's like
die.
Shaking.
Yeah.
And when you're shaking, you're laughing hard. Right. So, dude, I was dead.
You were dead.
I don't
you
think.
You were considered laughing. Dead at that point.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Damn. All right, we just end it there.
I'll be here all week.
Damn. But yeah, so that's a little me and Shake story.
That. Yeah, we just went and saw Batman, and there was a guy that has a really funny voice. I won't, once again, not too many spoilers.
I was born in a doctor.
No, he was like, you think you could...
Oh, the Penguin?
No, it's not Colin the Penguin. Farrell? I'm not going to tell anybody who it is. It's just a guy with a really just like, where the fuck did this guy's
voice come? Oh, it's a Riddler, huh?
It's just like, no. It's just a guy. Oh, damn. It's just a guy. He's like, you think this guy could come in here? And Shake is doing the same thing. We were just like shaking and laughing and trying to hold.
That's where he gets
his
name.
It's like
name,
a dead
Shake
silent
well.
Theater. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, he'd be shaking very well.
Wow.
Shaking, he's laughing.
Damn, yeah. You will be here all week.
Yeah.
God damn.
I'll be here all week, baby.
But yeah, so our second song.
My second song, I had a lot of time to think about, and I chose Biscuit by Shakewell.
Wow.
It's a great video.
Woo, woo, woo.
Great video and song. It's one of my favorites by him.
Okay, I ride with a biscuit down the slide for my business. Homicide, he a witness, now he fool for the fishes. Got my ride, windows tinted, I can't lie while they stitching. Down for mine, I'm too winning, got my care taking stinted. Okay, I ride with a biscuit down the slide for my business. Homicide, he a witness, now he fool for the fishes. Got my ride, windows tinted, I can't lie while they stitching. Down for mine, I'm too winning, got my care taking stinted. Okay, he fool for thought, bitch, I ain't the one crying. She can spit for tongue and shit and moving wrong. I just did a movie, dog. Catch me on the big screen. I was popping perkies with a Zen, big juice be sipping lean. Get these labels on for me. Sold my soul up to the grave. Running M's up with my bread and wouldn't have no other way. I ain't got no time to play, so hurry up, that's on the lay. I was in my bag today, boy, why you looking sad today? Met his girl for Friday, then I talked her on a Saturday. If he feels some type of way, this sexy make him slow to face. Boy, he was talking big. I came and kicked this shit in. It's time to take him fishing. These sharks eat him for ding ding. Okay, I ride with a biscuit down the slide for my business. Homicide, he a witness, now he fool for the fishes. Got my ride, windows tinted, I can't lie while they stitching. Down for mine, I'm too winning, got my care taking stinted. Okay, I ride with a biscuit down the slide for my business. Homicide, he a witness, now he fool for the fishes. Got my ride, windows tinted, I can't lie while they stitching. Down for mine, I'm too winning.
So that was Biscuit by our good friend Andrew, Shakewell.
Shakewell.
Shake.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, shout out Shakewell.
Yep, shout out Shakewell.
Damn, so that video was wild. If you guys haven't seen that Biscuit video.
Music video for Biscuit.
So, Kale, tell us a little bit of that.
So about that video. I got asked to be in that video, and I had no idea what was going to be happening. I just showed up, and then he told me the blueprints.
He was
handcuffed
half the time.
Yeah, I really was. It was not fun. He's like, yeah, we're going to do like a home video. It's kind of like this one. It's like an old movie that he knew about. I forget the name of it. But yeah, he's like, yeah, just we're going to fucking rob this really nice white family visiting. Oh, it's called Gang Tapes. It's similar to like Gang Tapes. And yeah, he's just telling me that shit. I'm like, dude, like, I'm wearing fucking PlayStation sweats. You know, like, I got my hair in a like a man bun.
Did he hit you up like the morning of or?
I can't really remember. I think either he was like, do you want to be down? And I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, what do you want me to do? And then I showed up and he's like, you down to be in all of it? I'm like, yeah, for sure. And then I just felt super, like...
So you had no idea what you were walking into?
I didn't. But it was really fun.
Damn. Did the handcuffs hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Handcuffs fucking suck.
Handcuffs are not cool. Yeah. Did that video, and it was really fun.
Yeah. The video is hilarious and awesome, but the song, like, kicks ass, dude.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Who made the beat, do you know? It's not Germ, is it?
Nah. Germ's a rapper. Probably Mikey the Magician.
Oh yeah, that's what I meant.
I think he did make that beat actually.
Damn.
Whenever you hear MTM hit him with the heat with Shake's voice, it's a Mikey the Magician track.
That's dope.
Yeah, this is
and he does. Who else does he do?
He does fucking a lot of. Yeah. It. He does all of Puya shit. Well, not all of it, but the majority of Puya. Fat Nick, you know.
Yeah. Does he do? Gus Young Yogi.
I'm pretty sure Gus has got a song with him, but you know, he does like pretty much the Buffet Boys stuff and like a lot of other rappers. A lot of rappers use him.
Tight.
Damn, hit him with the heat. Yeah. Mikey the Magician. Shout out, Ooh. Mikey. You're the man.
So aside from being a renowned music video star, actor, professional actor, Kale.
Thank you very much.
What are your goals for drumming? Where do you see yourself drumming, like, maybe long-term, short-term, what you want to do this year? Because I know there's a lot of projects that people want you on.
I guess my long-term goal is just to just be, you know, I don't know where it'll take me, who I'm going to be playing with, but I just want to, you know, make a career out of drumming. Just that's all. Yeah. If I can live and sustain on drumming, that would be really cool. Turning my passion into a career
nice.
Would be badass. What was the other question? Short-term goals or something?
Yeah. Yeah, let's say this year, like,
For this year, I just want to spread myself. I want to lose a bunch of weight.
Oh.
I got that quarantine weight.
Yeah, me too.
I just want to play more shows. I miss shows, you know?
Yeah.
The pandemic has affected everyone and definitely affected me and my career and my body.
Definitely.
And so I just want to get back in the swing of things and play more, you know.
Nice.
Play more shows, you know. I'm starting another band and then I think that'll be like number 6 that I'm in right now.
Damn.
So, I'll just try and keep it pushing.
Are we allowed to talk about some potential artists that want to work with you?
Not yet. I'm going to try to keep that.
There's a really good artist rapper that I'm a very big fan of that
Yeah, I might do some studio work and potential live drumming for some other artists.
Stay tuned.
It'll be cool. It'll be really fun. And let's just see where it takes us.
Damn.
Go with the flow.
Got some big things in the works here.
Yeah.
You've already done a lot of huge things. Massive, enormous things.
Yeah.
Traveled the world. Played all kinds of stages.
Yeah.
So
it's been fun.
So with your, you know, everybody knows you did a lot for Ghost Mane.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your, maybe what was your biggest show or most nervous you've ever been during a show?
Both of those answers would be Lollapalooza for sure. Lollapalooza was terrifying.
Damn.
I think for all of us, I mean, we were all really excited. But it was the first time that I'd taken my mask. I was wearing a mask for the beginning of Ghost Mane. And I felt like I could kind of do some silly shit with the mask on because nobody really knew.
Yeah, that's the best.
You know, it's typical cliche answer, but you put a mask on, you can kind of be anyone you want. And that was the first time I took the mask off for playing with Ghost Mane. And I was putting a bunch of prosthetics, like boils, almost looking like a Chernobyl victim. I was wearing like a bloody lab coat and I had all these like just.
And I think you had that red hair or orange hair or something.
I buzzed my head and dyed it orange. So I was like the ginger Slim Shady from Chernobyl. And I was so nervous. I almost threw up.
Wow.
Normally I.
Were you like shaking before stage?
Yeah. You can even see it like in the live video. Like, I think right before we go on, they like. I think there was about 70,000 or 80,000 people.
Oh my! Look up
just in the just for our crowd.
Damn.
There was like way more people at Lollapalooza. You know?
Yeah.
What I mean?
But that stage, that stage was packed.
We were on the main stage.
Damn.
Then we opened up for the Strokes.
I remember in the beginning of that, if you look up Ghostman Lollapalooza, he asks, I think he's like, how many people have ever heard of me? Or and like,
I don't think anybody understood that.
There were a
that.
Few
They're,
people like, yeah.
You just hear everyone just like, argh. It's like, nah.
But it was like a natural just being at Lollapalooza.
They just hear like, how many people? And then they tone out everything else.
But the crowd freaking loved it.
Yeah, they loved it for sure. Yeah.
My God.
It was really scary but fun and a lot on the line, if you will.
Damn.
Because as a drummer, you know, I was learning how to play to a click track as opposed to all my hardcore shit, which is, you know, I can kind of do it faster, do it slower if I want.
Yeah.
If I'm like dying.
They follow you pretty.
They follow me because I have a constant metronome in my in-ears.
So when you're playing with Ghostman, did all you guys have that click, or was it just you and Parvo?
Just me.
Wow. So even Parvo was playing to you?
Parvo didn't really have to, you know, he would just DJ, and then all the live stuff, it was just mainly me, our guitarist and bass player, and Eric.
Damn.
And they just followed me and the backing track of the actual song, and then it would be me playing to a click track. It was fun.
Damn. Yeah, that, if you look up Ghostman Lollapalooza, that, you see Kale in all his glory.
Shitting his pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can't even tell because you killed it.
Thank you. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I always show up when everyone's like, oh, you know KO? Like, I'm like, yeah, check this video out. And I show them.
Hell yeah, man.
And you guys went to I'm Not Okay, My Chem.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Dude, that shit was awesome.
We covered My Chemical Romance. So I still can't believe that. That's cool.
That was that like a spur of the moment, or did you rehearse it?
I think, we jammed it like couple days before. Damn. And I think it wasn't really spur of the moment. Like, he kept saying, I want to cover it. And then, like, we got to practice. And then it was just like, oh, wait, yeah, we got to practice the My Chemical Romance cover. And then we were like, oh, shit, okay, let's run through that real quick. And then we ran it like twice. And we were like, oh, yeah, we know it. We got it. It's fucking simple ass song.
Wow. That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, that was fun. Mm-hmm.
Ooh. So that's the best. And nervous you've ever been on stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the biggest and most nervous for sure.
Nice.
Which go hand in hand.
Wow, that's wild. Mm-hmm. So pretty much you've traveled a lot during your career as a musician.
Mm-hmm.
What was the most favorite place you've traveled to? And also, where would you like to travel to? Let's say your next show or something.
I would say... Fuck, that's really, really hard, man. No, you know what? My favorite place I've ever been was Japan. Japan was unreal. I've been there twice. And that country is cool as fuck, man.
Wow.
They're just on another level of just technology and like even the food, everything. Like, I thought I was going to be totally screwed because I don't like seafood, and I know they have a lot of sushi over there, and there's a lot of alternatives that their fucking 7-Eleven food is like fucking gourmet compared to anywhere in the States.
Ours is like a $3 salad.
Their little taquitos are like fried chicken, spicy fried chicken, like little breasts, and then like I would get like McDonald's barbecue sauce and just dip the fried chicken in that shit.
Damn. So
like ramen, all sorts of bomb ass shit.
So Japan is the favorite place you've traveled to? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Nice.
Japan and probably Australia.
Wow.
Yeah, Australia was wild. And damn, like three-way tie, Australia and New Zealand. Because New Zealand,
you did the Hobbiton thing.
I got to go to the Shire.
Man.
No. Yeah.
Fuck you, Kale.
All right, get out.
I got 1 point above you guys on that.
Yeah.
But
me and Trav are just like drooling.
I know, right?
Yeah, right, dude. Fuck. I got like
peasants.
I just got woken up and I was like, oh shit. And it's like, he's like, meet me downstairs this time. We're like, oh fuck, what's going on? And then there's a mega bus. And we just got on a bus 4 hours away to the Shire. And
did you have a show the night before, or was it
we had a show. Or it was like maybe two nights before, and then we were hanging out in New Zealand. And Eric knew how much I love Lord of the Rings, and bought me a ticket to the Shire.
Oh my God.
And like, it was cool because it was like,
did you just
Shire.
Get an instant boner or what?
Oh, hell yeah. The moment, like right when you're pulling in, I was like, dude, I was freaking out. I bought like elf ears, and I was like walking around with like elf ears on.
Dude, I would have done the same too.
Dude, bro. Yeah, I was just geeking. I was just a total nerd.
My God.
Dude, we went
sword,
to
put it on my back.
We went to the Green Dragon and had food and
beer.
Yeah. What food did you have?
It was like buffet food. I think I got like a fucking.
And they obviously serve beer, right?
Yeah.
Dude,
and
did
I got
they
like,
serve it
I got
like in a special kind of pint or.
Yeah. You get like a fucking like an old school looking like mug. Yeah, it's cool. It was really fun.
God,
dude.
Damn it. everyone's in the U.S. hyping up a Harry Potter world. But
Harry
they
Potter.
Don't fucking know.
Nah,
what's
you gotta
going
go to the shrine, dude.
The
Green
place.
Dragon.
There's like some. There's like a.
Dude, Merry and Pippin song that they sing.
Dude, they. We snuck off from the group because you have to stay in a group, and they just kind of show you. And we just like as they were moving, we just stood there, and people just walked past us until they left, and then we're like, all right, let's wander around. And then we just walked around the Shire by ourselves, and it was fucking rad.
Oh, what?
Yeah, they allow you to go into some of the hobbit holes.
Oh, no way.
So but you'd stayed there, right?
I wish.
I would hide and just stay.
Because they're all just facades, except for Bilbo's.
Bag end.
Yeah, literally, that's the only one that's an actual, like sustainable living. But
are you allowed to?
You're not allowed to go in there. Because I think Peter Jackson took all of the insides and took it home and made a hobbit hole in his backyard.
Oh, yeah. Then, he would do that.
Yeah. But they were like, yeah, this is the main hobbit hole, but you can't go in. But you can go in all these other fucking half-ass hobbit holes, and they're just nothing. It's just like literally 5 feet until you hit a wall, and it's just like, just like made of wood.
Dude, if they like made that a whole like Airbnb thing.
Oh, that'd be
for rich people, dude. You know how fucking
$1,000 a night at least.
Oh yeah, and I would
even more for sure.
Yeah. I would pay that.
I would pay that. I'll put myself.
I'd pay
$1,000
a night
years.
To stay.
Dude.
That's like a yeah.
I would barricade myself in,
right,
dude.
Oh my god.
Yeah, barricade yourself in, Kevin. We need you to come out of the hobbit hole
now.
We'll just do reenactments of Frodo at the show. That's all we're going to do the whole time.
You literally turn into like creepy Bilbo.
Right.
Oh my god.
Now that it comes to it, it's mine.
Damn. All right, Trav, that's our next. So we go in there, we do an episode
in Europe. We're going to fucking.
Your next podcast needs to be inside of the Shire.
Yeah. Before COVID, I would travel every August.
Yeah.
That's how I went to Egypt and Ireland and stuff.
I've always wanted to go to Egypt.
New Zealand was up next before COVID hit, and it just fucked everything up. But
what do you think of Ireland?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Irish
amazing.
People are sick.
Dude.
Like, sick in the
I remember
fucking head.
Before I went, my friend was like, hey, so I've been there before, and when you go there, it's going to be like America in the 90s. I was like,
it is, dude.
Bro, I land.
Yeah, that's insane.
I love
that.
I walk into Dublin and there's a dude with a boombox playing the Black Album Metallica.
No way.
I'm like, oh, okay, this is what you mean.
Dude.
Like two decades behind.
Yeah.
I got stalked by a group of a straight up child gang. Like, you know, like some 1800s little kids in like a dark alleyway like robbing you. Yeah, they were just, dude, they're all wearing like fucking. Like bowler hats.
The Tony hats?
Yeah, the Tony hats, and they have like fucking suspenders on. They're like 7 or 8 years old.
Oh, my God.
And they're
God.
Just following me, and I'm like, oh, shit. And then some dude's like,
did you play in Ireland?
Yeah, I played in Ireland.
Oh, my God.
Scotland. I played the UK, baby. Except for Wales. I don't think I've played in Wales.
Damn.
Yeah. It's cool. It's cool over there.
Damn.
It's very,
Kale,
it's
world
bleak.
Traveler.
It's bleak.
World Traveler Kale.
Yeah,
on
baby.
Top of all that. So
I'm jealous.
What was that?
I'm jealous.
Don't be jealous. It takes a huge toll on you.
Damn.
I mean, that's bullshit. I mean, it's different for everyone for sure. You know, the moment I'm at the airport, I'm like, I want to go home. Like, fuck.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to do any of this. A month in unfamiliar places scares me. Even if I'm like touring in the States, I'm just like pretty semi-miserable. But everyone else is always jazzed. And I'm just like, yo, how do I get on their level? Like,
yeah,
you know,
it was
but,
good vibes,
dude. Whenever, so anytime I'm outside of the U.S., a week into my travel, I'm like, I miss Casey's, I miss the yard.
Yeah,
like, dude, we have it so spoiled out here. It's good to see the world, like, experience things.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Dude, like, the comforts of home, like,
I just
what
miss,
Hobbit's
I miss,
like,
I miss my bed, man.
Yeah,
that's like a big thing for me. Is like, you know, I started my career with sleeping in a van, and I did that for almost like. Shit, like 13 years, you know?
Damn.
And it kind of became like the norm. Like, I sleep in my bed how I would sleep in a van or in a van.
Damn.
I would literally, I just like curl up and I just sleep naked? On my side. Yeah, all the time. And it just, it's become like the thing. I have so much room on my bed, but I'm just like tight
in this yeah. little,
in like a corner. And I'm just like, yeah, this is how I have to sleep. This is I'm just how I know. Even when I moved on to like the buses, it's like you're sleeping in a fucking coffin.
It was still small?
Yeah, it's like a coffin. You wow. just like, you're literally on like a little single like bunk. And it's actually almost more terrifying.
Wow.
I won't lie. The first tour I did with the bus, we had DVD players in our bunks. And I would just get
wow.
fucking like jazz. I literally would bring like a bunch of fucking DVDs with me. I brought a bunch of DVDs with me. And every night, like after a show, I'd be like, all right, I'm going to pack it up tonight, boys. I'm just going to go watch Willy Wonka in my bunk.
Oh, yeah.
And just close my curtains. And, you know, like
the Johnny Depp one or the...
Both.
Gene Wilder.
I'm a fan of both, actually.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, crazy. But yeah, no, a lot of Lord of the Rings was played in that bunk.
Oh, yeah.
I watched Lord of the Rings last night and
ooh,
today.
Which one did you watch?
What was that?
Which one did you watch?
Last night I watched Fellowship today. I put on two times, yeah. Extended version.
Oh, that's
I could never like watch like the second or third one. I have to like watch it for the first one,
dude.
Second one, third. And I have to watch.
You
it
have to. You can't just be like, I feel like watching Return of the King.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
Travis
yeah.
likes the foreplay of Fellowship.
Yeah,
and then just that's, orgasm
that is,
with Pelennor.
That is such a great way to put it because I absolutely love how like.
I mean, I was gonna say you, I like you the build
feel,
up.
You feel like yeah, you're going the on the adventure with Frodo. You kind of are like, yo, I'm gonna pack my bag, like, and it's fucking hilarious because I'm such a homebody. But I would love to be Frodo and be like, I'm going on a journey, you know? We're going on yeah. an adventure. But
and your bandmates are Sam. I'm going with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to Mordo alone. Of course you are.
Dude.
And I'm coming with you.
Yeah. No, like, I'm kind of the Sam. I'm like, I'll come.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck. I don't want to.
I kind of have to.
Yeah, I kind of have to. Yeah.
So who's the Gandalf in the story? Like the band
it's
manager?
It's like the singer. Singer's yeah. usually like, you got to come.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to do that. But you're powerful. You could do it alone. Nope.
Yeah.
No, you have to do it.
Think about that. Why the fuck didn't... I mean, I get it. Gandalf wouldn't do it.
He would have gone evil.
He'd end up using the ring.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would, yeah. He
it's like says drugs.
It. Fuck shit up.
He's going to use it.
Slip that ring on, baby.
Kale, before we wrap up this episode, get to the third song, mm-hmm. which we're very excited about. What kind of shout outs you got? You want to shout out anybody specific in general?
My shout outs would be all my best friends. Shout out this podcast, Consider Dead. You know, shout out to you guys.
Fucking excellent.
Shout out to my girlfriend, my mom, and you know, all my fucking hands and toes, shout them out because they keep me working, you know.
Yeah
Damn. My third song, you guys asked me to pick a song that I've played and performed on.
Oh yeah.
And I would say I chose this song because it was a really fun time to, it was like a really great recording experience. The song is called Lazaretto by Ghostmane.
Yeah. And, I think it's the best I've ever heard you play.
I mean, it's a very simple beat, but the recording process to it was a lot of fun. I got to work with the legendary producer, Ross Robinson.
And, who did that Korn
track. He did the Korn, yeah. He did that Korn track that we played earlier. He did a lot of stuff, like the first two Slipknot records, first like two or three Korn records, and then like Sepultura. He did a lot of cool shit.
Damn.
Very legendary. Wow. But, yeah, this is Lazaretto by Ghostmane.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us, Kale.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah, Kale, finally.
We gotta have him again because I know you got more stories.
Oh, yeah, my God.
All day, man.
We gotta have you part two.
I could tell you about what we did
three,
you know?
The two Kale, well, not the yeah. two Kale.
Extended
two
cut.
Yeah. Yeah. Sign up for the Patreon for the extended version of this podcast, you know?
The unrated version.
Unrated.
There you go.
But, yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right, Trav, hit that.
Play that track.
Thank you.